warning, this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Your Life. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're headed toward next week when we will publish online our proposed Constitution for America, very different from the current Constitution, which itself is unconstitutional. We'll talk about that next week. And we will go through the proposed Constitution line by line, and you'll see the extraordinary differences in it. Today's news... Well, I think with the second story, it will bear on the topic of government, democracy. The first story is today's earthquake in Puerto Rico. Terribly strong earthquake, 6.4 magnitude. It's done a lot of damage. And we'll also talk about this week's split in the Methodist Church, which we have long pointed out is post-Christian in many of its teachings, post-Christian. So actually, let's begin with the Methodist Church. This just out that the church is officially, this has been in the works for a year. It really boiled over in February of 2019. So this is not a surprise to anyone, but now it's about to happen that because of disagreement over homosexual marriage. Now, at the Daily Wire, that's a conservative news outlet run by Ben Shapiro. Matt Walsh works there. At the Daily Wire, they say that this is a disagreement over gay marriage. Actually, it's a disagreement over homosexuality. Because last year when they voted on this, which is a mistake, the Southern Baptists, they vote on things like murder, adultery, sexual perversion, homosexuality. So when God gave the Ten Commandments, I remember that chapter in Exodus where he said the amendment process for the Ten Commandments works like this. You get 2/3 of the tribes of Israel to disagree with one of these statutes, and they vote when they're in session, and then they etch out the commandment that I wrote with my own finger. And they add an addendum, an extra slab at the bottom of the two tablets, and they put their new rule. Remember that? Exodus chapter 6, verse 66. Remember that? I remember that. So in the Constitution that we will propose, there is no amendment process. Does that mean that we think it's perfect and inerrant? No. No, but the dangers that come from a governmental constitution that you can alter are far greater than the dangers you'll endure from a governmental institution that is generally true to biblical principles that you cannot alter. When Jesus Christ returns to earth, he'll alter every constitution in every nation in the world. And they will be changed then for 1,000 years. And we'll see what the world will be like when people live under a government of righteous law. Will that be astounding or what? For 1,000 years before Christ's first coming, we had Israel's kingdom on earth, but without the king, without the Messiah. And it was characterized as a sheer nightmare. Immorality, godlessness, this was God's people, the chosen people. The vast majority of the chosen people went to hell. The chosen priests, most of them went to hell. The prophets in Israel, I mean, we're studying Jeremiah right now. He points out that most of the prophets were evil. The chosen kings, most of them went to hell. So being chosen, it's not what it's cracked up to be, right? In fact, we have a YouTube video, Chosen, It's Not What You Think. kgov.com/chosen. You'll find it. Click on YouTube. It's quite the video. You might really enjoy that. At any rate, God did not, for his chosen people, and for the people of the world, God did not say that the law I wrote on your heart, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, don't covet your neighbor's wife or goods. That law I wrote on your heart, if you come to the point where you disagree with it, you can modify it. He never said that. So this story is about the Methodist Church, the United Methodist Church, but the Southern Baptists, they've been voting on God's law for decades. And back in the, was it the early 90s when they had a conservative revival? The Southern Baptist Church was going the way of the United Methodist, and the conservatives pulled it back from the edge of the cliff over the abyss. They just managed to pull it back. But now we're 30 years later, and it's begun to teeter and fall into the abyss. That's where it's headed. If you have any doubt, look at all the Southern Baptist seminaries, the president of the Southern Baptist megachurch teachers, at our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay, kgov.com/superfluous. And we call it superfluous because we live in an age where the majority of our leaders are going gay. In fact, homosexuality is a far greater threat to the well-being of your children and your grandchildren than is Islamic terror. Homosexuality and the perversion and destruction that it entails is a far greater threat to your family, to your church, to your community than is Islamic terror. Far greater threat. And we have the Trump administration with their global initiative to get every last remaining nation on earth to legitimize homosexuality. Just as Focus on the Family did years ago. Yeah, they did. Legitimize, which means to declare legally valid. That's what it means to legitimize. To declare legally valid. The church has done this when for 3,500 years in Judeo-Christian jurisprudence, Judeo-Christian legal history, scripturally, the Old and New Testament, homosexuality was not only a sin, it was also a crime. And it's a crime because it leads to death in the most excruciating and extraordinary ways, homosexuality. And yet we find today that the vast majority of our conservative leaders have legitimized homosexuality, not in truth, it's not actually valid, but they have asserted it to be valid, deceiving themselves and many others and destroying countless children and families in the process and churches. Our conservative leaders and our Christian leaders, that's why we call it our superfluous list. It's superfluous. Just like we have our big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. Remember that list, kgov.com/pedophiles? When people look at that list, they call me. They say, Bob, I'm speechless how extensive and irrefutable that list is of liberals supporting pedophiles. And that's why we call it our big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. Well, likewise, we have our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay. And so here is the United Methodist Church, like the Southern Baptist, voting on God's law. When we all get to heaven and God asks the president of the Southern Baptist, and not only now, but going back decades, he won't actually ask this because it will be superfluous. But if he were to ask, where did you get the notion that your church should vote on my law? Where did you get that notion from? What in the world went through your head when you thought, hey, won't this be a great idea? Let's get hundreds of people together to vote on what we think about God's law on sexual morality and on everything else for that matter. So what a nightmare democracy is. Democracy is humanism, and a republic is a kissing cousin to democracy. They're very similar. in a democratic republic, which is what our conservative talking heads like to brag that we have, we're a republic, they say. We're not a democracy. We're a democratic republic. Actually, they say we're a representative republic, but the same thing, right? You vote for your representatives. So in raw democracy, and they say we're not a raw democracy. If you want to kill unborn children in raw democracy, then someone proposes a law that says we legitimize abortion. And then everyone votes, and if they vote to decriminalize child killing, abortion, then that's what you have. You have abortion. If you are a representative republic, which is what our conservative talking heads brag that we are, then you don't do that. You vote for politicians. And if the majority in California, in New York, in dozens of states, if they want to kill children, then they vote for politicians who advocate killing children. And then the politicians enact the laws and bring about the judicial decisions to kill children. And so see the big, huge difference there? Isn't it an enormous difference? The one the people vote on the law that says you can kill children, and the other the people vote for the politicians who say you can kill children. Huge difference. Really, I mean, it's enormous. It's a gulf that cannot be crossed. That's how different it is. The United Methodist Church votes back in February. It was a wide margin as far as votes are concerned. 438 voted against homosexuality. 384 voted for it. And the vote was on whether or not the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. And 438 said it's incompatible. So that's pretty good. That position that the majority proclaimed, that's good that they didn't just say that homosexual marriage is inconsistent with the gospel. They said that the practice of homosexuality is inconsistent. And many conservative Christians who want to abide by the Bible, they put the word practice in really as a weasel word, as a way to make their position less harsh, they think, because they say, well, it's not wrong to be a homosexual, it's just wrong to practice homosexuality. And Jesus, what did Jesus teach about adultery? He said, it doesn't matter if you want to commit adultery in your heart. It only matters if you actually do it. That's what Jesus taught. Wasn't that? It was in the Sermon on the Mount or something. So, oh, wait a minute. You mean, I'm looking right here in the Bible. You mean it matters what's in your heart? That's what matters? So that if you lust in your heart, you're as guilty before God as though you actually committed the act. If you covet, it's though you committed the sin. You violated the command, thou shalt not steal. So if you covet your neighbor's wife, what that means is given the opportunity and the time, you would violate your neighbor's marriage. And if you covet, if you lust after fill in the blank of whatever perversion is du jour. And if you have that lust in you, some are like our big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. Some lust after children. And you actually have, it was a TED Talk a couple years back. You'll see it on our page, on our big, ugly list of liberals supporting pedophiles. You'll see the TED Talk, a full TED Talk, claiming that pedophilia is not wrong. It may be wrong to act upon it, but it's not wrong to be a pedophile, to desire sexually. It's not wrong. It was a TED Talk. So the TED organization removed the video because of the outrage, but there were a number of mirror sites who said, no, this cannot be swept under the rug. It has to be known that this is how bad things are. And so you could see that talk. It's nauseating. We, if I recall, we linked to it in such a way, we embed the YouTube video and link to it in such a way that you could skip right to the main point of the TED Talk. Because to watch the whole thing, turn your stomach. So it is good that they didn't just vote against gay marriage, like we said on the show, what, 25 years ago, almost 30 years ago, that we'll come to a point where the church, our Christian leaders, conservatives will so embrace homosexuality that it will be a more and more increasingly narrow thing that they'll say cannot be done. Like, first it was homosexuality itself that was wrong for 3,500 years and also criminal. And then homosexuality was not wrong, but homosexuals adopting children, that was just unacceptable. And then that went out the window. Then it was homosexuals holding office, political office. Then it's homosexual marriage. And we said, a quarter of a century ago on this program, Bob and Yurt Live, we said we'll get to a point where our Christian leaders will oppose nothing other than homosexual dental care. That's it. Everything else they'll affirm. And of course, that was just to illustrate the crisis that we're in. And you couldn't find a conservative today who would have anything to say against homosexual dental care. I mean, it's not possible. All human beings have the right to have their cavities removed, regardless of how they got them. So Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., that's Hillary's church, right? Hillary's church, she's a United Methodist. And whenever she did go to church when she's in Washington, she'd go to Foundry United Methodist when George W. Bush was running for the Republican nomination for president. When I found out he was going to a big United Methodist church in Texas, I called the church. I didn't mention his name. I asked to speak to the membership director for the program. And I said, I'm asking about your church teaching regarding homosexuality. And a friend is a homosexual, and I'd like to know, could he be a member in good standing in your church as a homosexual? And this is in the 1990s. And the membership director, she said, oh, absolutely. So we hung up the phone, and I said to my producer at the time, George W. Bush is a fraud. He's a fraud. And I later then found out about his political conversion experience designed to help his father become president, get elected with evangelical support. And we interviewed Paul Kengor, who's the professor who wrote God and Ronald Reagan and then God and George W. Bush. And we confirmed that horrific account. If you're curious about that, just go to our website, kgov.com, and search for God and George W. Bush. You'll hear the account of his conversion, and it will turn your stomach because it was all political, designed to get his father elected. And Paul Kengor is a supporter. He wasn't writing as an enemy of Reagan or Bush. He was writing as an admirer. So the Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli of Foundry United Methodist Church in Washington, D.C., said of the split, he said, my producer's telling me it's not a he. How do I know it's not a he? What do you expect from me? I'm not clairvoyant. I'm not Claire anybody. I'm Bob Enyart. The Reverend Ginger, what does that mean? That doesn't mean it's not a guy. If the article doesn't use a gender pronoun, how am I supposed to know? So the Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli, and that's where they keep two last names because they despise that God made the husband as the head of the family. They despise that. That's why they keep two. And it really is mean to their kids. I mean, what if Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli hyphenated, what if one of his kids was going to marry somebody else who came from a hyphenated family? And then what are they going to have, four last names? And if their kids married somebody with four last names, what are they going to have, eight last names? And then a few generations and you got 16 and 32 last names, 64. Good thing we have digital birth certificates, because if you end up with 1,024 last names, not a problem. Just have it an infinite length field. So the foundry, Reverend Ginger, he says, we're not going anywhere. If someone wants to come for me, for us, then bring it. Well, what does that mean? Bring what? So a conservative United Methodist of their Wesleyan Covenant Association said, we recognize irreconcilable differences. And that's interesting, right? They use the terminology of a divorce, because the United Methodist Church has divorced itself from God, from morality, from right and wrong. Well, the progressives, the leftists in the United Methodist Church over the last year, they said they were working toward a plan for separation that would allow each, and this is a Freudian slip, what they said right here. This is the liberals creating their own plan to split the denomination. They said they developed a plan that would allow each part of the church to remain true to its theological understanding, unquote, from the New York Times. Now, that's a Freudian slip, right? That's a Freudian slip showing that they know in their hearts that this is not about human rights. If this was about human rights, if there was in Germany a Lutheran church, in fact, most of the Lutheran church did not oppose a National Socialist, the confessing church in Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others, they objected to the Nazis on moral grounds and theological principles. But most of the churches just went along with things. So if the confessing church, if they were splitting off of mainline German Protestant churches, would they say, well, we want our brothers and sisters in the Lutheran church to remain true to their theological understanding that they do not need to oppose the Nazis? Would they say that? Would Dietrich Bonhoeffer say, we want the rest of the Lutherans in this country, we want to give them the opportunity to remain true to their theological understanding? He would have never said that. He would die before he was forced to utter those words. He would let them kill him rather than utter those words. So these perverts, it'll be many millions of the alleged 12 million members in the U.S. The New York Times, right, the media reports, United Methodist Church, 12 million members in the U.S. Where's their alleged? They're addicted to alleged. You get a guy on video murdering someone, and they say, the alleged suspect. Well, the alleged reporters at the New York Times are pretty gullible. So the United Methodist Church has an alleged 12 million members, and it'll be interesting to see, once the split is done, how many members are in one set of churches versus in the traditionalist churches. That'll be interesting. Even though the traditionalist won the vote, I think we may find that most of the individual United Methodists end up in the homosexual church, the homosexual United Methodist Church, the HUMC. So we've done a program on the show. We have an article, The Biblical Role of Government in Marriage, and it's easy to find, kgov.com/marriage. Really amazing. You know, the arguments for the government's role in marriage, which Ben Shapiro, disagrees with, we have a YouTube video, Ben Shapiro's huge error regarding marriage and the government. Well, God instituted family, including marriage, church, and government. God instituted not only marriage, but also government. And marriage is a covenant not only between the couple and God, but also with the whole world. And the whole world should treat a married couple differently than they treat two unmarried people. And marriage is either lawful or unlawful. And enforcement of legality is the government's domain, not the church's domain. So on and on, the article, The Biblical Role of Government in Marriage, it's really quite the article. So when you have Christians, nominal Christians, Southern Baptist leaders, pastors, thousands of them, approving of voting on God's law and how wrong that is. And then it reminds us about, well, the U.S. Constitution and the age of democracy that we have all endured now for a couple hundred years. And this circular authority that I mentioned yesterday has the same weakness as circular reasoning. It lacks a valid foundation. If in a democracy, the people obey the government, which obeys the people, who obey the government, which obeys the people, and so on and on, it's this circular authority. It's a failure. Now, God never established governance by committee, but governance by individuals. And the desire to rule over others, you could see this in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew 20, Mark 10. It lurks among the vulgar lusts to desire to rule over your neighbor. Democracy, it exalts the vice of brazen self-promotion to the very center of public life. It does all these terrible things systematically. It's a denial of scripture whereby leftists believe that men are basically good, and so they support rule by the majority. Leftists, they inflate individual authority to release men from the restraint of government, of church and family. Libertarians do the same thing. Libertarians are immoral conservatives. Did I mention Ben Shapiro earlier? Yeah. He even thinks that pornography should be legal. Now, he knows how terrible it is, how destructive it is, but he thinks it should be legal. Imagine somebody said, well, abortion is so terrible, but I think it should be legal. At least Matt Walsh, who works for Ben Shapiro, right? Shapiro, doesn't he sign Matt Walsh's paychecks? I think he does, yeah. At least Matt Walsh knows that pornography should be illegal. So leftists, like libertarians, they inflate individual authority. Why? To release men from the restraint of government, church, and family. And man's inherent sinfulness indicates that democracy will systematically, over time, worsen government. Hey, we are out of time. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.